Hi, and welcome to the Vancouver Life Podcast.
This podcast is created to answer the most talked about questions when it comes to navigating the Vancouver real estate market.
I'm your host, Dan Wortel, a licensed agent and accredited real estate investment advisor based here in Vancouver, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Dash.
Hi, Dan. I'm also a local realtor, an exhausted father of two, husband of one, and really happy to be here.
Let's get right into today's episode. Governments at all levels have finally seemed to wrap their head around the idea that to solve the housing crisis here in Canada, the answer is not to suppress demand, but rather provide supply. And to help stimulate the creation of this needed supply, in just the last couple of months, we've seen some pretty significant policies put into place here. And these include, of course, the removal of GST on rental buildings. They're removing the single-family zoning across the province in BC here and mandating multiplex development. They're mandating high-density, transit-oriented development around SkyTrains and bus exchanges. Calgary just recently received approval for $228 million of federal funding under their Housing Accelerator Fund. Today, here back in BC, they announced that they are creating new pre-approved residential designs for triplexes, fourplexes, and laneway homes. And this is, of course, designed to allow home builders to take off-the-shelf designs in order to expedite their home construction. All great ideas here. And even more recently, we just had the Fed announce a plan in Toronto to build 65,000 rental units with help from $1.2 billion in federal funding. So in this episode, we are going to explore how much all these initiatives and this funding will help and when we're going to see any type of significant impact in our housing crisis and, of course, affordability. Now, real quick, before we get into all these details, just a side note that Ryan and I, well, we run a real estate team called the Vancouver Life Real Estate Group.
And the big news is we've created an environment where real estate agents can thrive. And we're here to share that we're looking to grow.
Right. So realtors who join us, well, they're going to have access to leads, coaching, social media training, and the modern marketing techniques required to be a success in any market.
So if you know a realtor who would benefit by joining our group, please have them go to thevancouverlife.com/join and connect with us.
Perfect. Okay, let's get into what's important in Canadian real estate this week. As mentioned off the top here, rental construction financing is a big initiative that's been pushed through to help stimulate supply. So after about six straight months of the Toronto area experiencing new record high rental rates each and every month, the federal government has announced this week $1.2 billion in loans for rental unit construction. So this is going to be paid through low interest rate loans, and the target is to build about 2,650 rental homes across seven projects in the GTA, in the Greater Toronto Area. So this announcement comes a few weeks after the City of Toronto had announced its new accelerated plan to help build affordable housing, where they're targeting something like 65,000 new rent-controlled homes by the year 2030. The funds available for this, their total funds is about $30 to $40 billion, and that would equate to about $500,000 per home. So a very healthy amount for their building there. So supply, as we can tell here, has clearly become a focus. I mean, for example, if you go and check out the CMHC website right now, their entire newsfeed is all about federal funding for new homes. And while all these initiatives are a step in the right direction, I think it'll take at least 5 to 10 years before we're going to feel any real impact. You got to think, a lot of these buildings, we won't see them complete for even 3 to 6 years, let alone the mass amount of supply they're all trying to supply here will accumulate over the years and compile, of course, and compound rather with all the other initiatives that are taking place from now until then. So either way, all in the right direction here, but these things do take time. Housing does not move quick. Further to talk about supply here, resale inventory, as we know, is sitting well below long-term averages, at least here in the GVRD, somewhere to the tune of 25% less. But the presale market, which has seen a lot of developers pull back lately, saw quite a spike in releases for the month of October. There were about 20 projects released last month to the tune of 3,500 units. That's actually the largest amount of units released this entire year, all of 2023. September, by comparison, saw about 400 280 units. So well, well less. And then this month here in November, we're going to see about around 1400. So what does that mean for actual sales? Well, we saw an absorption rate of around 27%. So one in four homes that were released last month sold. That is below the typical absorption rate for this time of year, which usually sits around 30%. But do keep in mind, that's 27% at a radically increased release rate. So I think most developers would take that as a win. One of the questions, of course, is moving forward, will the demand side shift? Because, of course, pre-sale units are typically bought predominantly by investors. They're taking that risk. They have the capital to be able to hold onto a property for 3, 4, 5 years until it completes. But now with the essential Airbnb ban, if you will less investors focus on that type of property, opening it up for more and more end users? Possibly. We will see over time, of course, but hey, investors can still look at this as a safe place to deploy capital and ultimately get long-term rents. Though, as we know, the numbers are backwards here and they're going to be rent negative to the tune of whatever it is, depending on their property size and value. But either way, we're taking all of these initiatives and movements and supply as a win into a deeply starved inventory environment.
I largely think investors will probably pull back to some degree, being that they can't Airbnb, although in many instances a lot of buildings don't allow Airbnb to begin with. So sort of mixed kind of feelings on that. I think investors will start to look at other provinces just because of affordability and because of Airbnb restrictions. We'll touch on that, like, you know, Calgary, for example, which is seeing some significant price surging, and with its current cost being half that of Toronto, I think investors will look at different markets where they can make better returns and where markets just aren't as complicated. But whether or not we see a drop from 30% down to 25% or down to 20%, I don't think so. I think, the housing demand here is so strong for units. And I think a lot of, not just investors, but I also think a lot of would-be home buyers who are banking on interest rates falling over the next couple of years will probably be looking at pre-sale units a lot closer than they would be the resale units, just for that very reason alone. So, I think you'll probably see a lot of exchange. Investors will probably go and look to other markets where the spreads are better. And I think you'll start to see home buyers, who aren't interested in looking at current mortgage rates, which will probably entertain that, right? So anyhow, with that being said, let's have a look at the U.S. inflation prints that came out this week. And it beat expectations. So the annual inflation rate in the U.S. slowed to 3.2% in October. That's down from 3.7%, below market forecasts of 3.3%. And I think the big differences that we saw were particularly on the energy side, the gasoline side. Energy costs dropped 4.5%. Energy prices are typically one of the most volatile. Prices increased, though, even though at a softer pace, for food and shelter and new vehicles. However, we're seeing some price relief in used cars and used trucks. However, housing costs have accounted for more than 70% of inflation costs last month, and that's according to the U.S. Labor Department. So, that being said, it still beat expectations and it sent the stock market quite a bit higher. The S&P had its best day since April, and the Dow rose 500 points on the news. And Canada's five-year bond dropped another 20 basis points on this news. So it's pretty interesting stuff that we're hearing. Canada's announcement will come out on the 21st of November and on December 19th, and we are hoping to see more of this kind of news. That being said, this kind of news is also, well, I would say not just this news, but also the culmination over the last, over the last year and the interest rate hikes that we've been through. Hibernation is the new keyword that we're hearing amongst all of the news sources. So I just wanted to quickly rip through a bunch of the different news sources here. This is what major news outlets are saying about our real estate market. So CBC has said the housing market has gone into hibernation. Crea says, with lower sales, listings, and flat prices. The Financial Post says, Canada home prices slide as home buyers go into hibernation. Global News has said, housing market likely in hibernation until next spring. And Business in Vancouver says, expect a chilly winter in real estate as prices stick and sales drop. So to kind of break out on CREA's recent report here, CREA has stated here, and I'll quote them, October isn't typically a strong month for the housing market, as under normal circumstances, activity is slow in the cold months of the year and picks up in the spring and summer, then declines through the fall and winter again. However, the volume of sales during October was 17% below the level seen before the pandemic. It's a TD Bank economist. And economists are now suggesting it's formally a buyer's market in Ontario and in British Columbia. Call it a buyer's market, it's a slower market, especially with the sales to new listings ratio now at its lowest point since 2008. So what does this mean going forward? Well, depending on which economists you read, effectively, this news strongly suggests that prices will head lower in these two major markets over the next several months, and that will drag down the national average. However, it won't be for a long time, because as the Bank of Canada looks to cut rates in the new year, expect to see further price stabilization as we enter a new cycle. And it's not the case across all of Canada. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, if you're talking about Calgary, prices have risen by 9.4% in the past year. It's the highest level on record. And it's a record, yes, but, you know, like I said, when you look at the price of real estate in Toronto and in Vancouver, you can get into a similar kind of property for half of the price. So I think you're likely going to see a lot more investors flood in that direction, and a lot more new home buyers and business startups looking to Alberta for the lower cost of living.
Yeah, thank you for that. It's interesting because, of course, reading any type of headline that only relates to quote unquote Canadian housing is kind of tough to follow, because as Ryan just illustrated, a province to province look can be completely night and day. I mean, the way that Ontario operates compared to Alberta, for example, is pretty extreme. So take any of those sort of overarching nationwide title or headlines rather with a grain of salt, but you know, they are important and people do look at them, but again, always spend more time getting hyper local and hyper focused on the area that interests you. For us, obviously that's Vancouver. And I want to give a bit of a state of the union here as to what is happening in the greater Vancouver area. Because if we pull back, we open up what's happened in almost the last 2 years, interest rates, of course, have driven the market up and driven it down throughout time. And in the last 20 months, we've seen interest rates increase, obviously from 0.25% up to where they are today at 5%. That has diminished buying power by about 35%. And yet 20 months later, after all these hikes have happened, home prices in GVRD have only dropped 5%. Since that peak, 5%. It doesn't really add up there. And if we go back to 1 year ago, we're actually up 6% in home values from 1 year ago. So think about that. Prices are higher today than they were 1 year ago when interest rates were lower than they are today. It takes a lot to kind of wrap your head around how unique this market truly is. I mean, if you were someone or you knew someone who 1 year ago said, hey, I'm going to wait until next year for prices to come down, well, that same person would be buying at a 6% higher purchase price and a higher interest rate. It's kind of baffling. With these higher rates comes mortgage renewals at higher rates. Well, we've already seen over 1 million mortgages renewed in about the past 14 months with interest rates that are 2 to 3 times higher than they were previously. And yet, no noticeable increase in mortgage arrears. You look to the MLS and there's less than 1% of all active listings or court-ordered sales. And we still are sitting here with inventory around 25% below the long-term averages. Absolutely no spike in motivated sellers here. I mean, we just look to the current prices of what's happening today, November 16th, I'm reading this, halfway through the month, average prices in GVRD are up 10 grand and median is up 10 grand or 5 grand up. So you know, while that movement is nominal, what we're seeing here is just stable, stable, stable. There's absolutely no crash that's happening. Sellers are just sometimes not getting their price, so they just wait it out. And of course, you know, when mortgage arrears are low, and at least they've dropped this year to date, we're waiting for the new data that'll come out shortly here. Either way, no signs of a super distressed market. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not stating that there aren't a ton of financial pressures out there, but what happens is everybody pays their mortgage first. People will give up their car before they will give up their house. And again, the numbers don't lie, and we're seeing this right now. So Vancouver, once again, kind of bucking that trend. The housing market has all sorts of signs of cracks, but is stable, stable, stable. And we're going to obviously keep a close eye on this. Brian, do you have some final thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's funny as you're kind of going through the baffling scenario that's presented itself. I find that you know, and maybe I sound a bit like a broken record here, but you know, when you only have one tool at your disposal, that's the Bank of Canada, that is, to ratchet up interest rates or ratchet them down, we're starting to see now that it's not just fiscal policy that can control prices. It's not just fiscal policy that will control people's buying and selling and the individual pressures that families have inside of Canada. Interest rates, in many ways, I think, especially in the past, were more of a blunt tool to bring down economic activity or ratchet it back up. But as we continue to grow and diversify as an economy, and we see, you know, more global use of our supply chains, it's not that easy to just turn up interest rates or turn down interest rates and expect them to have an overall, you know, a surgical effect on real estate, right? You have to combine it with added supply, much like we talked about today. You can't just temper demand and, you know, explode immigration and then expect housing prices and affordability to come down because you've got interest rates up. It just doesn't work like that. You know, so I think as we go forward, we need to see better implementation of all categories of government and what are the initiatives that they're doing outside of fiscal policy, like infrastructure development, that will help to alleviate these pressures so we don't have such volatile interest rate environments. I think that's true in the way things are playing out now. And so we've got to get a bit more creative. We've got to get a bit more invested in how we take care of not just our overall economy, but how we create affordability, right? It's not just the stroke of a pen. It has to be more than that. And I think we're seeing that play out right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, it's been extreme amounts of demand suppression via way of taxes and more bans and new bans. Ultimately, I think they're finally recognizing at all levels of government here that that just does not work to the effect they want it to. And here we are, Vancouver, sure, acts a bit differently, but ultimately, demand is going to continue, and it's going to continue to accelerate should they continue with their immigration policies. Regardless, they have now kind of been beaten down to the point where I think they recognize that really supply is the solution here, and we're seeing a lot of major moves to help supply happen. So exciting times. We're going to see a lot of changes across this landscape, definitely within Vancouver. Again, keep in mind, these don't happen quick, and while they are great steps in the right direction, the direction is a long one here. So thanks as always for tuning in and watching, and we will see you next week. Have an awesome day. Bye.
That wraps up this edition of the Vancouver Life Podcast.
For more information on this podcast and to access a ton of free downloads, investment opportunities, current market info, and homes for sale, you can find it all at www.thevancouverlife.com.
Thanks, and we look forward to bringing you more podcasts about Vancouver real estate.